World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I got to be honest with you, I'm really convicted this morning. I'm really, really convicted, and I hope to convict you, although most of us don't understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. Christ said, the Bible says there is no condemnation. When you are condemned, that means a sentence has been given over you. You are condemned to death. Conviction is the idea of realizing you've missed the mark. Oh, doggone it. I should have done that. That's conviction. Condemnation is continuing to beat yourself up because you didn't do something, right? There is now, therefore, no condemnation in Christ. We can't go around carrying a thing of, I'm no good. I should have done that. That is condemnation. Condemnation buries you in regret. Conviction inspires you to move. Do you understand the difference in those two things? Because we have to be really, really careful, because sometimes conviction feels like condemnation. In fact, the enemy loves to take conviction and turn it into condemnation. So conviction would be this. I got to get that camper down there to those people. They're freezing down there. That's conviction. Condemnation would say, oh yeah, you done what you should have done this. If you'd have fixed this, that wouldn't have happened. If you'd have done this, that wouldn't have. See, that's condemnation. And you have to learn to recognize the difference in those two voices. Because if you listen to the voice of condemnation, folks, that's a heavy one to come out of. It all goes back to what we were talking about. Was it last week with forgiving people and holding grudges and all that kind of stuff? Holding grudges is the ultimate condemnation. When you're holding a grudge, you have condemned yourself to the punishment of being holding a grudge. And you also hold the other person in bondage. Let go of it. Let go of it, right? I know it's hard. I want to read something today. I'm going to get Cowboy Dave in here real quickly. Mike Blake and I, thank God for Mike Blake. You know, our camper broke down. It's down in Charleston, West Virginia. Mike Blake and I are going to drive down tomorrow. No, Friday, which day is it? Yeah, tomorrow. We're going to drive down. We're going to pick it up. We're going to drive that down to Swannanoa, where Cowboy Dave and the folks are. And we're going to give somebody a warm place to be able to sleep. We just pray that God bless Mike that he would do it. Just pray that we get that thing down there. It's 96. It's not driving in through the mountains. It's all just pray that that's going to keep somebody warm. It's going to keep somebody warm. So just be praying for us that we're able to get that. We'll be broadcasting live from Swannanoa, obviously, on what day is that? Friday, whatever day that is. So just keep us in your prayers, if you will. I want to get Cowboy Dave. I got a powerful thing today, folks. I'm telling you, stay with me. I got something to reveal to you guys that you ain't going to believe. And it's exactly, we've been right all along. Hey, Gene Schroeder, we've been right all along. We've been right all along. I'm going to show you today, okay? So hang in there with you. But I want to hear from Cowboy Dave, Dave Graham. Hey, Dave, do me a favor, Dave. Don't mention the guy. Don't mention the guys who came down there with you. We know they're down there, but don't.
Well, they're angels. They don't have names.
Yeah, don't. That's right. They don't have angels, and we don't want to expose them till they're able to get back with their family. So tell us what's going on down. Hey, Spencer, while Dave's talking there, pull up the one that says Cowboy Dave. His Facebook page right there. So scroll down there. Look what Cowboy Dave's been doing, folks. On down one more, I think, Spencer. One more, One more. Look at those propane bottles. Dave, it's on the screen right now. Talk about what's going on down there.
Good morning, everybody. It is the day the Lord has made, and we are to be glad and rejoice in it.
Amen, there's
spiritual warfare, but that means the God of the universe through the Holy Ghost is moving and condemning, not condemning, but convicting of sin and bringing to light that which is hidden. But real brief, I've got school buses going by, all the kids standing up. The school has given them permission to stand up on the school bus to greet me in the morning. But the angels that are here are the ones that took the propane into the mountains, down along the river, to the tent people. We worked together with Savage Nation, which is the key rebuilding 501c3 here. They said, do you have a truck? Because of the angels, we do. And they said, we'll fill the back with full propane. You go and exchange it for empty propanes, then take the empties and fill them, and we'll rinse and repeat again. So these angels were able to take, life-giving warmth to people that are living in the most unbelievable, after going on 3 months, the most unbelievable, pitiful neglect. But that isn't what I wanted to get on the call for. I want to get in on the call because America needs to know something. They are being abandoned. These people are being abandoned. What I mean by that is they're closing down any and everything that provides resources with no notice. They closed down what they call the community center, which is not only where FEMA and Red Cross were supposed to be, nobody did much, but it's also where the showers, the laundry facilities, the restrooms that would flush. This entire footprint for the Ingalls parking lot has been told, they removed all the equipment. It looks like they might have a portage on there still. They'll probably be picked up today, but they've told people they can't sleep in their vehicles in the parking lot. I'm telling you, America, what's going on is these people are being abandoned. I mean, this happened overnight. The angels and I got to verify the supply centers that were operational all closed simultaneously, not all, but down to a handful. They're independents. So they closed down the supply centers. They condensed the supplies. And now these folks are living on the other side of the river that most do not have transportation, have to find a place to do their laundry, their personal hygiene business, their ability to shower. It's pitiful. It's ridiculous. And so I use those words, and I know those aren't Bible words and those aren't godly words, but I want you to look at this right in front of me. It's a little high school girl trying to get to school. They're trying to survive. These people are going by bundled up. It's the government or whoever's in charge of this, the devil, is going to abandon these people. And it's a couple weeks before Christmas, and it's cold. I mean, it'll be 14, 15 tomorrow. It's 18 now. But the problem is it'll be 45 to 50 in the afternoon. And these mountain people and all these folks are just depending on America. They're depending on the body of Christ. And we've got a big job here, folks, but God has placed us in Swananoa strategically. And we are making sure through the angels that have come out of Pass the Salt that the people are being given not just food and provisions, but also heat. Heat. I mean, not sleeping bags necessarily, not extra blankets. Of course, we're providing those. But heat. Folks, imagine trying to get your child to school in a tent, where you could originally take them to get a shower before school or after school, and now there's nothing, and you're in a box, a tent or a wooden box, and somebody comes by, an angel comes by from Pass the Salt Ministry and drops off a 20-gallon container or two 20-gallon containers. Folks, it's life. Jesus said, when did you see me? When did you see me? And they responded, we did this and we did that. And Jesus said, well, you've done it to the least of you, you've done it to me. So I wanted to take a minute, Coach, and to express my heartfelt love and thank you for everybody that financially gave, everybody that has come down and served, everybody that's driven vehicles, everybody that's provided vehicles, everybody that's provided campers. It is ordained of God that that camper is not here at this moment, and it will be, and I guarantee you it will be a shelter. So I just want to thank everyone for your sacrificial love, your prayers especially, and the truth that you're sharing all over the nation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hey, folks, if you could, real quickly, folks, hey, Spencer, pull up Biden Africa. I don't know if you guys saw this morning. I don't know if you saw this. President Biden has pledged $1 billion in humanitarian support to Africans displaced by historic droughts and food insecurity on Tuesday as North Carolina residents continue to rebuild after the devastation left by Hurricane Helene. Dave, they're sending $1 billion to Africa and ignoring the people in Swannanoa. That's the truth, isn't it, Dave?
Can I mention something else, Coach, without interrupting you?
Sure.
I'm going to have to put you back on mute because all the school buses are going by now, and I love everybody on this call, but these kids need hope, so I'm going to provide it through the Holy Spirit. Amen. But there is a church here in town, and I'm just going to say it for the nation because I saw the documentation. The First Southern Baptist Church here in town has a policy through the North Carolina Southern Baptist Association. They will not help any renters. Anyone that rented their mobile home, anybody that rented their physical home that was affected by the floods, that was devastated, that lost everything, they have a policy. They can't even get a blanket. They can't even get a blanket if they're a renter. And most of their efforts are being used for the rich family that lives on the East Coast that is Southern Baptist, who has a relative here in Swannanoa. And that's where the resources and their volunteers go to help rebuild that home of a family member. So, folks, I'm telling you, it's not just a SBC thing. It's a denominational thing. And you need to pull any support you're giving towards disaster relief from these large organizations, folks. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you what to do with your money. I'm just saying it ain't going to get to the people.
Amen, Dave. God bless you, buddy. God bless. I'll see you in a couple of days. God willing.
Hey, brother. Thank you. God bless everyone.
I'll take you out to eat. Is that okay if we do that, Dave? Yeah, it's okay. All right, folks. Hey, Spencer, if you could. I got some powerful stuff for you. Just bear with me here a second, friends. God bless Cowboy Dave down there. Spencer, pull up for me number two. Again, I've told you, I started out this morning telling you I'm convicted. I'm not condemned. I'm convicted. Think about this beautiful house that I have, beautiful home, beautiful family. Every need met. Oh, I got a few aches and pains and a few. People down there, 18 degree weather, sleeping in a tent. It was a fresh spring morning in the German countryside, and a young boy dressed in his Sunday clothes dawdled along as he made his way down the dirt road ahead. His parents paused to wait for him. "Hurry up," his dad said. The child begrudgingly quickened his steps. "Why should we sit inside on such a fine day?" the boy grumbled. Perhaps for once the minister would suggest taking the service out of doors. But as the red brick building came into view, and with it the line of people filing into the church, he knew that wasn't going to happen. The service opened with a prayer, a couple of hymns, and then the minister began to preach. The child shifted in his seat, wondering and waiting. He was wondering if the wooden pews had been made to make people uncomfortable on purpose so people wouldn't drift off to sleep. He was waiting, as he did every Sunday, for the whistle of a train and the clatter of its wheels upon the track. He looked down at his bright brass watch, its hand moving slowly down to 9:30. "Another minute," he said, and there it was. A distant whistle announced the locomotive's prompt arrival. It soon drowned out every other sound, for the track ran close behind the church building. The minister kept preaching, as he always did, and the adults looked on politely, pretending that they could hear what the pastor was saying. Then suddenly a new sound joined the unusual rubble and clatter. It was a sound that would not soon forget. Through the noise of the train, from the boxcars it pulled, came moans and wails and cries for help from Swannanoa and abortion clinics and J6 jails. There were people inside those boxcars. Everyone in the church pressed towards the windows. Tears sprung into the eyes of some. Others shook their heads. But no one did anything about it. Pattern of indifference. The train continued to pass by the little country church every week on its way to Auschwitz. Every week, the cries of men, women, and children interrupted the Sunday sermon. And every week, the congregants did nothing about it. after a while, it got so disturbing that people didn't want to come to the church. They all agreed that somebody needed to do something. That something was not to stop the train. That would have been suicide. They didn't plan to make an appeal on the prisoner's behalf. That would have been pointless. By the way, if they'd done that, instead they simply changed the time of the service so they could be singing as the train went past. We sang as loud as we could to drown out the cries, recalled one of the church congregants years later. If perchance we heard them, we just sang a little louder. Instead of fighting for those being led to death, instead of pleading for their cause, the church ignored the problem. They became desensitized to the plight of those who needed them most. Bill Dunphy's in jail this morning. Cal Zastro's in jail this morning. How could they? Well, under the rule of the Nazi Party, an unspoken understanding permeated the country. Germans who kept silent and obeyed the laws would be left alone. Pardon me. Let's go back again. Under the rule of the current government, an unspoken understanding permeated the country. Americans who kept silent and obeyed the laws of the government would be left alone. But on the other hand, anyone who dared to defend the condemned masses, they're going to jail. Reinhold Niebuhr said, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The church congregants had heard rumor of the atrocities of Auschwitz. The church congregants had heard rumors of the atrocities of Planned Parenthood and of January 6 jails and abortion clinics. But they didn't know what they could do to help. They felt that the fate of those unborn babies was just, felt that just the fate of the J6ers, felt that the fate of Bill Dunphy was just wasn't anything they could do about it. Because even trying to do something about it might cost them their lives. Were they right? In the book of Esther, we find a young woman faced with an almost identical predicament. She knew that people were going to be killed. The law said she could do nothing about it. To even try could have cost her her life, or 3 years in jail, or 20 years in jail. But instead of choosing indifference as the Christians of the little German parish did, Esther asked God for the courage to change the things she could. And she said, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., and if I die, I die. Years have passed, and no one talks about it much anymore. But I hear the sound of that train whistle in my sleep. I can still hear them crying out for help. God forgive me. God forgive all of us who call ourselves Christians, yet have done nothing to intervene. Indifference has not faded into the past with the tragedies of the Holocaust. It's a fail. You, I, and all of the church today are equally prone to do indifference. Not my mailbox, Chad. Ain't my mailbox. I'm talking about abortion. That same man who listened to the cries of the Jews, as the boy said, it's happening all over again. May God forgive America for drowning out the screams of the dying children. May God forgive the church for allowing this Holocaust to take place. And I would say the same thing about the J6ers, the guys who are unjustly thrown in jail. Church doing nothing. Nothing. We may not be singing over the cries of trainloads of Jews during our Sunday services, but we daily overlook injustice, ignore those who need our help, and excuse ourselves because interceding for them might cost us something. Not a damn pastor anywhere standing up for Bill Dunphy. The Proverbs says, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we didn't know it. We didn't know what was going on. Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? You ain't fooling God. Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his deeds? Heaven forbid God would treat me with the indifference I've treated those being led to slaughter. So how will you respond? I want to encourage you to not choose indifference. Don't excuse yourself from this fight because you can't believe things can change. Don't call yourself a Christian while doing nothing to intervene. Christ gave his life to save you. It is not your reasonable service to extend the same love to others when they need your help. As Mordecai told Esther, who knows where Andy, Dave Allison, Betty, Roger, Glenn, Gina, maybe you've been called into the kingdom for just this point in time.
Boom.
That thing that you're feeling right now, that's conviction. That's conviction. Chad, it's not my mailbox. Connie Dunphy's husband's in jail. I'll pray for her. Got some good news. Can I give you some good news here? Are you ready? Thanks, Angie, for getting this to me this morning. Wait a minute. Let me show you something else here real quick. Pull up number 9. Hang on. Stay with me. I got some good news for you. Pull up number 9. Without a shadow of a doubt, Planned Parenthood caught selling 6-month-old aborted babies. Caught! Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. When you serve fear, baby, you serve the devil. I'll put it in the chat. I'm not going to take time to read it. They have been caught. Scroll down a little bit. Scroll down a little bit, Spencer, if you could, just on this article. What? Planned Parenthood provided the University of California with viable fetuses up to 6 months gestation from elective abortions in exchange for valuable consideration of patent ownership and intellectual property rights associated with experiments performed on them, alleged documents released last week under a California public records request. Selling unborn babies. Mark Trump, I'll be right with you. Go ahead, Mark. Just nobody else. Well, I got something I got to do, but since Mark's got something to say. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I wanted to comment on that picture of that train and the people in it and the picture of submission. That is the picture of perfect submission.
Yep.
But who did they submit to, Coach?
Yes, so
what's the difference in a Jew and a Christian if not who we submit to? And let me remind you that there's a whole bunch of detention camps with double fencing right off the railroad tracks in South Carolina and Georgia. Okay? So the guillotine code is on all the health record databases. So our country is set up to be a Germany. So I just want to emphasize the importance of that visual, Coach.
Amen. Amen, Mark. Amen. Okay, look, I'm going to do a drop on you here just real quick. I'll put all this stuff in the chat. You have to read it. Pull up real quick for me, number 5. Well, that's okay. Number 5, top doctor, over 100 million fully vaxxed Americans now have irreversible heart damage. This ain't an opinion. Hey, folks, we've been right all along. This ain't an opinion. 100 million have irreversible heart damage. Put that in the chat. Let me pull up another one. I did Planned Murderhood. Did that one. I'm going to get to that here in a second. Okay, hang on. Here we go. Hang on. Look at this. Pull up number 3. Huh? We're winning. We're winning. Look at number three. You ready, boys and girls? You sitting down? Young men are leaving traditional churches for masculine, orthodox Christianity. Leaving it in droves. They're through with the fluffy evangelifish. I'm okay, you're okay, Jesus loves everybody. The young American men are sick of it, and they're not going. They're not going to churches that teach them how to be women.
Boom.
Put this in the chat.
Amen to that.
We're on the cutting edge. We are on the cutting edge. And Glenn, you tell me you're not fighting that where you're going to church. Glenn, I'm not criticizing your church. It's every freaking where sissified Christianity. And young Christian men say, there's a war going on, and I ain't buying in that stuff. Are you you with me? Now, here's the boom. Here's the boom. You ready? This is all going in the chat. People, now listen, some of you are watching, say, Coach Dave, where do I get this stuff? Where's the chat? Okay, so look, at the end of the show, all of these links are going to be found at CoachDaveLive.com. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. Scroll down to the bottom. Do it for us real quick, Spencer. Click on whatever show it was. And then at the bottom are all the links. All of the links. There they are. All of the links, okay? So if you're watching on Patriot Party News or you're watching on Rumble, if you're watching someplace else, go to CoachDaveLive.com. Click on the today's show and all of the links will be at the bottom of it, okay? All right, cool. You ready for some good news? Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Thank you, Angie. Thank you, Angie. Pull up number four. Listen, not going to be a lot of time for comment. I got to run through this quickly. Fine, stay right there. Government document published December 2nd, 2024. Government document. Not a news report, not a projection, maybe, not Sherry Tenpenny said, not Dr. whoever said, no. Government report, final report concludes two-year investigation, issues a 500-page final report on lessons learned and the path forward. Are you ready? You ready? Here are some truths. I don't have time to go through them all. Scroll down, Spencer. I don't want to read the opening part of it. You can read it. They did. Look, folks, they did a governmental study on COVID. A governmental study. This Go. Ain't
injected. You're in that picture right there. See you?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Say hi to him.
Hey, looking good in that cowboy hat.
Tell him your name.
David.
David? That's me.
He's a David, too. The guy in the red.
Oh, dude. Go get him, David. Go
okay, hang on, brother. I want to show you one more thing. There's the mom. You don't mind, do you, Mom?
No.
Here's Mom. They hey, lost Mom. Everything.
I'm a David. We love David. We want to help you guys. Keep the faith.
This is David's mom.
Hey.
Can you see her?
I see her.
Anyway, here's David again. God bless you guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, you guys ready? Are you sitting down? Take this and shove this down the throat of all the people who laughed at you at church. COVID-19's most likely emerged from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. They give you evidence by why they know that. This did not just happen. They knew it. Well, by the way, funded by America. Keep going. Let's go. I don't know. Look, this is, folks, this is so inclusive. You got this is a government. Stay right there. The original organization of SARS-CoV-2 was used repeatedly by public officials and the media to discredit the lab theory leak. They knew it and continued to lie to you. They knew it and they continued. Gain of function research, a lab related incident involving gain of function research is most likely the origin of COVID-19. And by the way, gain of function research is illegal. Eco Health Alliance, under the leadership of Dr. Peter Daszak, used taxpayer dollars to facilitate dangerous gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Hey, friends, the American government was behind COVID-19. Keep going.
Amen.
Folks, this is a government document. NIH failures NIJ's procedures for funding and overseeing potentially dangerous research are deficient, unreliable, and pose a serious threat to both public health and national security. Why? Because the freaking pharmaceutical companies control them. Go on to the next one. COVID-19 relief funding. Federal, state, and government had significant lapses in coordination, were unprepared to oversee COVID-19 funds. Paycheck Protection Act, which offered essential relief to Americans, was rife with fraudulent claims resulting in at least $64 billion. They don't have any idea where it went. Fraudulent cost, fraudsters cost the American taxpayers, this is a government report, $191 billion. Small Business Administration, $200 million of taxpayers' dollars were lost. They don't have any idea where $200 million taxpayers' dollars went. At least half of the taxpayers lost in COVID-19 relief programs were stolen by international fraudsters. This is a government report. COVID-19 oversight, expanding relief programs that lack proper oversight functions, expose severe vulnerabilities in the system, paved the way for fraudsters. Next, we're going down. World Health Organization's response to COVID-19 pandemic was an abject failure. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. Social distancing 6 feet apart was made up. They just made it up. Mask mandates. There was no conclusive evidence that masks effectively protected America. Hey, do you have anybody that's a friend of yours that you want to go and shove this down their throat? We were right. Now listen, that's not glory in it. It's not glory in it. There was no conclusive evidence that masks effectively protected Americans. Public health officials flip-flopped on the efficacy of masks without applying Americans any data at all. Lockdowns, prolonged lockdowns cause immeasurable harm to not only the American economy, but also the mental health and physical health of Americans, who are particularly negative effect on younger citizens. The devil wants the kids. Can't you see it in every aspect of it? The devil wants the seed. Rather than prioritizing the protection of most vulnerable populations, federal, state, and government forced millions of Americans to forego crucial elements of healthy and financially sound life. They destroyed people financially. New York pandemic failures. Cuomo lied. I'm going to go down through it. He lied, and he lied again, and he lied again. President Trump's rapid implement travel restrictions saved lives initially. During Fauci's transcribed interview, he unequivocally agreed with every travel restriction issued by the Trump administration. This testimony runs counter to the public narrative that the Trump administration's travel restrictions were xenophobic. Remember that, huh? Public health officials often spread misinformation through conflicting messages, knee-jerk reactions, yada, yada, yada. Going down. Operation Warp Speed worked. It worked. COVID-19, contrary to what was promised, the vaccine did not stop the spread or transmission of virus. Government report, not something Coach Dave Sand or Sherry Tenpenny speculating. No. Contrary to what was promised, did not stop the vaccination. Rushed COVID-19 vaccine. They rushed it through. Two FDA scientists warned their colleagues about the danger of rushing the vaccine through. They were ignored. Days later, the Biden administration mandated the vaccine. And vaccine mandates were not supported by science and caused more harm than good. Can anybody repeat that? Vaccine mandates caused more harm than good.
Amen.
It trampled individual freedoms, harmed military readiness, and disregarded medical freedom to force a novel vaccine on a million Americans without any evidence to support whether or not it was effective. Public natural immunity. Public health officials engaged in a coordinated effort to ignore natural immunity. Public health officials engaged in a coordinated effort to make sure you didn't take ivermectin or any of these natural remedies while developing vaccine guidance and mandates. Vaccine injury reporting system created confusion. Failed to properly inform the American public about vaccine injuries. Oh my God. And deteriorated public trust. The government is vaccine injury compensation. The government is failing to efficiently, fairly, and transparently adjudicate claims for COVID-19 vaccine injury. Shall I go on? The business impact. Federal and state the government document, folks. This isn't Mark Trump telling us this. Federal and state governments imposed mandatory lockdowns that were the primary cause of temporary and permanent business closes. More than 160,000 businesses closed to the pandemic, and 60% of them never opened back up. America's healthcare system was severely damaged by COVID-19 pandemic. Patients experienced a decrease in quality of care. Worker unemployment rates surged to levels not seen since the Great Depression. Overly broad mitigation measures, including the now debunked 6 feet apart guidance, disproportionately impacted sectors. Federal Reserve aggressively early and unprecedented response was to pump money, destroying the economy. Can anybody boom out there yet? Just so I know you're hearing this, huh? Boom.
Boom.
We were right. We were right. You were right all along, folks. Societal impact. Closing schools. The science never justified school closures. Children were unlikely to contribute to the spread of COVID or suffer any serious things. Centers for Disease Control. The Biden administration broke precedent and provided a political teachers organization with access to the scientific school. Folks, are you ready for this? The CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, was basically being controlled by the American Federation of Teachers. That's what they found. That's what they found. That the teachers' union were the ones not wanting to go to work. Art influence. Schools remain closed longer than necessary because the American Federation of Teachers' political interference in the CDC's reopening guidance. American Federation of Teachers is a political union, not a scientific organization. And they're the ones driving. Is this unbelievable? Huh? How wicked is this? Testimony revealed that American Federation teacher President Weingarten had a direct telephone line to Director Walensky. Do you understand this? Do you understand this? The teachers' union was controlling. Standard tests show that children lost decades worth of academic progress. And as a result of COVID-19 school, mental and physical health concerns skyrocketed, with suicide attempts by 12 to 17 age rising 51%. Because kids need the socialization of school, as wicked as that might be. They needed out of the house. HHS, the Biden administration, HHS engaged in a multi-year complaint of delay, confusion, and non-responsiveness in an attempt to obstruct the select committee's investigation and hide evidence that could incriminate or embarrass public officials. The HHS had evidence that made sure that the politicians didn't look bad. EcoHealth President Dasik obstructed the select committee's investigation by providing public available information, instructing his staff to reduce the scope and pace of productions. In other words, don't give them the documents. Dr. David Morse, Fauci's senior advisor, deliberately obstructed the select subcommittee's investigation. He lied to Congress on multiple occasions, unlawfully deleted federal COVID-19 records, and shared non-public information about NIH grant process with EcoHealth President Dr. Peter Daszak. Are you following this? Oh, by the way, federal government document. New York obstruction. New York's executive chamber, led presently by Governor Kathy Hochul, who should hang, redacted documents, offered numerous illegitimate privilege claims, and withheld thousands of documents without an apparent legal basis to obstruct the select subcommittee's investigation into former Governor Cuomo's pandemic air failures. In other words, she covered for him.
Boom.
Millions died. 100 million damaged hearts. Pull that back up again so they know I'm telling them the truth. Number five, 100 million damaged hearts. I don't know what to say. We were right. We were right. You know why we were right? Because we understand that it's a spiritual battle. It's the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And for whatever reason, you explain it to me, I can't explain it to you. The church has decided they're going to sing a little louder and they're not going to get involved. They murder babies every freaking day in America. The Christians know they're murdering babies. And then they watch Calzastro and his cohorts get locked up in jail. That's Auschwitz 2.0. Come on in, Craig. Hang on a minute. Say, Coach, I don't know where you find this stuff. It's the Holy Spirit. You ain't hearing it from your pastor. I promise you that. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, they left a couple things out, Coach. They left out event 201, which occurred just by coincidence on October 18th of 2019. Mm. You know, the John Hopkins, Gates, Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yeah.
How do you handle a pandemic? Pretty coincidental. That was kind of left out of that report. They didn't put in the report that China just happened to have the world military. I put all this in the chat. And the World Military Games, the largest event, military sports event ever, 9,308 athletes from 109 countries competing in 329 events, 27 sporting disciplines. Oh, where do they compete at? Oh, that would be in the Wuhan Sports Center. So if you know, it's one thing to have a virus. It's another thing to spread it.
Yeah, amen.
So you expose 9,308 military athletes and all the other people that come with them, and then you send them back to the 109 countries about 4 or 5 weeks later. Then you have the Chinese New Year, where the country shuts down, and 10 million of them go on vacation on cruise ships, and then you start seeing COVID on cruise ships.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know, they forgot to put that in there. You can't follow the cookies. I mean, it's right there. I talked about this. I told people this years ago. I said, you want to know how this got spread? This is how it got spread. And then you wonder, okay, why did it hit New York City hard? Why did it hit the Spokane, Washington area hard? There were only three areas you could come into the country when Trump shut the nation down: Los Angeles, Seattle, New York City. If you were coming in from China, you had to go to those airports. That's where all these COVID cases started to come and manifest themselves.
But Craig, don't conflate these things. People died with COVID, not from COVID. It was the treatment, the fake treatment that killed people, not COVID. Go ahead, Mark.
No, I'm just saying this is very trackable. This is very trackable. And the people that have participated in Event 201 should be called before Congress and asked, why did you happen to just pick that date before this happened? They should be. Anyways.
Hey, Craig, do me a favor. Just sing a little louder, will you, dude? Just sing a little louder. It'll all pass. Lives will be destroyed. But hey, Craig, at least it isn't yours. At least it, you'll be happy, Craig. Folks, it's gut-wrenching to me. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. And it's been here for 2,598 shows. 2,598 shows. Put number three up. No, yeah, put number three up there. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. This is why the sun's going up. Young men are leaving traditional churches. Huh? That's right. We're finding younger Christian men who think some things are worth dying for. Huh? And they don't want to open their arms and sit on Jesus' lap. They don't want to do that. They don't want to do it. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Can you imagine a bunch of men sitting around? How about 96 bottles of beer on the wall, 96 bottles of beer. take one down, pass it around, 95 bottles. That's what men do. They don't sing, open my eyes. Do you understand the feminization of Christianity? And I hate to tell you this. Sun's coming up, baby. Look what's coming behind us. Young men leaving the freaking sissified churches. And how do I say it? What's the word I'm looking for? Indifferent pastors. Indifferent to people who are in jail. Indifferent to little babies being just, they're indifferent to it.
Amen.
Mark, come on in.
Yes, sir. So I will disagree with a different part of the report. As you know, we have five children homeschooled from kindergarten all the way through high school.
You freaks
got their socialization like on a street corner in Whitehall, Ohio, with other believers outside of Planned Parenthood, getting F-bombs thrown at them by people that drive by and getting flipped off. And learning how to pray for their enemies and those that spitefully use them. And, well, I'd rather have that kind of socialization than any kind to get in government school.
That's right. Getting the foxhole together, baby. Getting the foxhole together. That'll bring some fellowship, huh? Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Amen, yes,
Mark.
Sir.
Amen. You got Amen. Good fruit, Mark. You got good fruit, too, brother.
Now, God, to God be your glory.
Amen. Adam, come on in.
Hey, good morning. Now I'm going to be singing at 99 Bottles of Beer and a Wolf Song all day. Thanks. hey, let's not forget, during that first impeachment, when this stuff started to spread and Trump was trying to get his handle on it, they ignored it.
They lied to him, Adam. They lied to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. These people.
Hey, Adam, I think they should hang. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Or firing squad might be faster and cheaper. These guys aren't folks.
A rope is recyclable.
What do they call somebody? If I'm in a car and I'm driving and I pick somebody, me and Mark Mattingly are in a car and we're driving down the road and we're looking for this guy that stole some money from Mark and we see him walking down the road and Mark says, Coach, slow down. There he is. And we slow down and Mark rolls down the window and kills him dead. What am I?
You're an accessory.
I'm an accessory. And we're going to let guys be accessories to crime just because they were elected officials. Doctors. They're accessories to murder. Church won't go there. Why? Because open my eyes, Lord.
Well, they're more than that. They're conspirators.
What's that, Chad?
They're more than that. They're conspirators.
They're conspirators. Charges could be so deep. Are you guys?
Yeah, that'll level up. That'll level up when they do that.
Are you guys seeing how much they're not? They don't want to approve Trump's real ass kickers. They don't want to approve his cabinet of ass kickers. Sorry if that word hurt you. We talk about that when we drink 98 bottles of beer on the wall. Sometimes we say ass. Trump's trying to bring in some ass kickers. And who's fighting him? Republicans. Why? Because it's all one big happy family, baby. All one big happy family. Pastor Clint, come on in.
You're talking about the suicide rate going up among school kids because of lack of socialization. And I can hear people say, well, you know, that's what about homeschooling? But what happened, Coach, not only were the schools closed down, they couldn't play with each other.
That's
and
true.
The dang churches shut down. So, yeah, they were stuck at home with nobody and nothing to socialize with. And I'm telling you, the churches that shut down, they could be permanently shut down.
That's right, brother. And you know what you're seeing? Young men saying, I ain't going back to that place. Hell of that. I ain't going back to that place.
Good.
Pastor, I ain't going back there. Sorry. Sometimes I think dirty things, and sometimes they come out of my mouth. I apologize. Go listen to your sweet talking pastor. It doesn't do nothing about nothing. Come on in, Roger.
Well, you know, this morning, ex-Marine Daniel Penny was in trial for stepping forward in a subway, I think in New York City, when a guy threatening people. And he used his technique, and unfortunately, he might have gone a little bit overboard, maybe. And the guy died a couple days later. He had to go. He's in trial. A jury is out for him for stepping up and to protect people. And I think it's 50-50 in New York City or wherever it is, that whether he will be found guilty or not, you know. So we ought to keep that in our thoughts and prayers in about a half hour as the jury reconvenes.
Roger, here's the truth, because you're in the you're in the legal field. Roger, what we're seeing across America, all across America, in our courts, is guilty till proven innocent. Wouldn't you agree with that, Roger, for the most part? That's where we are. If you're charged, you're guilty. Those J6ers, how many of those J6ers are still in jail without a trial? Without no bail. No bail, no trial. Guilty. And if they let them out tomorrow, they will have spent 3 years in jail for something they were not guilty of. Hey, sing a little louder. Sing a little. Not my mailbox. Come on, Vinny.
Hey, I just wanted. Hey, Roger. Jordan Neely died of a drug overdose, just like George Floyd did four years ago.
They never tell us the truth, do they? Huh? They never, ever, ever tell us the truth. So the question is, you know, as I sit here today, I want you to know I am guilt-ridden every day. Every day. That Bill Dumphy's in jail. I don't know what to do about it. Cal Zastro. Cal Zastro is in jail. What did Cal Zastro do? Peacefully prayed at an abortion clinic that mothers wouldn't kill their babies. He's in jail? He's in jail? Hey, Michelle, turn that music up. I want to sing a little loud. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to. I'm sorry about Caddy. Right. We're complicit, man. We're all complicit. Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. You know, the glory. I just got a text message from Coleman Boyd. You remember the man went with us and staked that courthouse? He's like, Brother Dale, my house arrest is about to end. Can I come in with a bunch of guys and let's go to the Super Bowl and let's stake that place and let's proclaim the gospel? He goes, do you got places to stay? I'm like, come on, brother. We'll put up coat hooks and we'll put them up on the walls, brother.
Put me on the reservation list, right? So folks, listen, why isn't Bill Dumphy on house arrest? What did he do? Why is he on house arrest? Why is he in a gulag? Locked up. Open my eyes.
Well, Dave, because it's not justice, it's personal.
It's personal.
That's why.
It's not justice, it's personal. And there's no mercy. The courts have no mercy on the righteous. Oh, they got mercy on the wicked. They're letting wicked people out of jail every day. Not the righteous. Not the righteous. Randy.
So, Coach, when are we going to switch from begging God, appealing, giving the signs, and asking God to fix everything, just like the people are asking Trump to fix everything? And when he's sitting there saying, no, you are the fix. I'm going to end you do it. When we understand that, Coach, it changes the entire agenda for us. We start action, just like see what Dale said about, let's go to the Super Bowl and stake. See, then you realize your action is God's purposes for through his people. And we understand change, just like in the U.S. country, the government, the people, we the people are the change. It isn't Trump. It's we, the people, we, the Christians, we, the people of God. We, when we change that person, that's what will change it all.
Amen. 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 We can't just sing a little louder, right, Mark? All power has been given unto us, and he's given it to us. Folks, the American church, I don't want to beat anybody's theology up, but you're going to have to say amen when I make this statement. The modern American Christian church is focusing on evacuation, not occupation. That's why we got in this mess.
Boom.
We'll be out of here soon. Most of the American church, rather than, golly, we have to live here. My grandchildren have to live here. My grandchildren's grandchildren have to live. Daggone, we better dig in and clean this mess up. It's all focus. And if the Lord happens to return and take us out of it, let him find me with a hammer in my hand, a shovel in my hand, restoring the walls, building the kingdom. We're out of here. It's going to happen soon. We'll all be out of here. Johnny.
Good morning, Coach. Amen to that. Bill Dumphy's in prison because the enemy cannot and will not allow light to be shed on the darkness. But it's too late for him. The arrogance and the stupidity of the enemy is being unveiled. And there is a reckoning now. Look at that government document you just read to everyone. It's coming out.
No, nothing hidden. There will be a reckoning. Hey, Johnny, we've been right all along. Now, justice needs to come, right? Justice needs to. They gave us the evidence. Justice needs to come. You can't claim I didn't know. No elected official can claim they didn't know. Anybody who voted for it ought to be thrown in the slammer. Jeff Klein, come on in. I'm talking about elected officials that voted for it.
Coach, I've been on the public square there with my sign. It says, local Ohio pastor sent to prison. So I'm just wondering, as we're talking here this morning, I wonder if maybe I ought to just go Sunday morning to that big new church I built, Mount Vernon, and stand at the entrance with my sign.
That's where it ought to be.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm thinking that's where I'm going.
Hey, Jeff, they're just going to sing a little louder anyway. It don't matter. They'll sing louder. They'll be all
in,
right.
In that new church they built, that's where all our politicians in the city are, the mayor and everybody. They're all in there.
I'll sing a little louder. Amen. Mark Trump.
Yeah, Coach, I wanted to just continue Craig's cookie crumbs related to the virus. We had a friend on the show a few years back, Coach, that was an automation worker in the labs in North Carolina. Okay, these labs exist, and this function of the coronavirus, first of all, the coronavirus is a platform to deliver. So all the countries had the coronavirus prior to COVID-19 in 2019. So we had it here in the Wuhan, not the Wuhan lab, but it's a pre-Wuhan lab that Fauci ran in North Carolina. Okay, Chapel Hill.
Mm.
So what we think is, why did Fauci move his research and investments from Chapel Hill to Wuhan? It's called gain-of-function research. I left a couple things in the chat. It's weaponization of a platform called the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus.
So it was things that were clearly illegal in the United States. He went to Wuhan and did it.
No, it's not illegal, Coach. Those links are news articles about North Carolina trying to pass laws not to do it. Not to do gain of function, but they're doing it anyway under the government guys with people like Fauci in Chapel Hill. Duke's got one. They're all over the country in every state, Coach. This coronavirus is everywhere in the labs because they're using it to develop new gain of function things for humans.
All in the name of science, right? All in the name of science.
This is Nephilim. I put in there, Nephilim followers, as in the times before Noah, y'all must realize we're exposing the evil works of darkness. That is the goal here of us publishing this stuff. We have to wake people up using what they can hear and understand. Some of these tools work. Look at those links. It's incredible what's already posted. And just do your research. Thanks, Coach.
You know, the Bible teaches, I got to run here, the Bible teaches There's a sin of commission and there's a sin of omission. Commission is doing something that you shouldn't have done. Omission is doing not doing something you should have done. The sin of omission is just as deadly as the sin of commission. What a time to be alive. See you tomorrow.